I am singing news of great happy tidings. Lord Nityananda himself has opened the marketplace of the holy name in Suravipundi. News of its great results is that he is selling the pure holy name in that marketplace for the price of only one's faith. Lord Nityananda, the proprietor of the market, seeing all the devotees become attracted, is selling them the holy name after bargaining with them. Oh brother, if you want to buy the holy name, then go with me. We must go to the presence of that great soul, Nityananda. You will buy the name of Krishna. I will take my commission, and all of our desires will be fulfilled. Lord Nityananda is greatly merciful. Taking only one's faith, he gives the highest ecstasy. If Nittai sees only once tears in the eyes while chanting the name Gaura, then he gives all resources to that person. He gives the pure teachings of Krishna to everyone and does not care for one's birth, wealth, knowledge, and strength. Now giving up the illusory snare of Maya, either remain in household life or in the forest as a sannyasi, for no more troubles remain. There's no more fear of the age of Kali. The merciful Nityananda gives the holy name to even the Chandalas. Bhakti Vinod calls out, except for the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, there is no other shelter. Who can explain this to me? I spoke about it the other night, but I know nobody was there. I'm curious, who can explain something, a little bit, about what does this mean about marketplace, commission, buying, all these things? It sounds like something completely different than what Prabhupada taught us. He told us to distribute the holy name freely. Somebody? Yes?
It says faith, you have to invest in faith.
Ah, yes. Okay. So, what else can you say? That's right. Invest faith. So, what happens?
The more we invest, the more we get.
But we get what?
More deposits we get. The more deposits, the more we get.
The more deposits.
Oh, deposit. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Deposit?
Deposit, yeah.
So Lord Nityananda is drunk with love of the holy name, and he's just giving it out freely to everybody. The highest.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, there's a nice analogy that's used in that connection.
He has opened the marketplace of holy name, and he's for giving faith. Faith is like a currency. By giving faith, you can get that holy name also.
it's actually distributed wholesale,
yeah.
This broker, there's a broker, Dalla Lera Gita, he makes the song of the broker. Who's the broker? What's the broker do?
Broker sells a commodity for a price.
Huh?
Broker sells a commodity for a price, and the price here we pay is the faith.
Yes.
But the broker gets a share.
Broker gets a share, gets his commission, right?
The
broker doesn't have it, he brings it to the person who's got it. He broke us the deal and he gets his commission, right?
Yeah. So it's not that he just... it's not that by giving he loses. But everybody gets.
Everybody gets. What did they get? Bank account?
He said everybody gains.
Oh, gains.
Faith.
You can't approach Nityananda directly. You have to go through the broker.
Broker, there's brokers, there's salesmen, there's shopkeepers. Sometimes there's traveling salesmen, they travel. Sometimes there's shopkeepers, have small shops. Sometimes there's people that don't have enough to purchase from the wholesaler, so they take it on credit. Take it on credit, they go out, they sell it, and they go back and give it to the, what they sell to the wholesaler. And sometimes they have enough to purchase it, and they go and they purchase it, they sell it, and then they get their own. But what are they getting? Your name, yes. Well, what's the currency? It's already said about this too, but it's currency. I think you said it. What currency? Some, no, maybe it was another group about the currency. Faith. And there's another point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions. What happens with people who try to buy it with something different? Well, yeah, this is one of the employees in the marketplace of the Holy Name of the Lord is the person who checks to make sure that it's like to put gold. See if there's a silver line in there. They're checking to make sure they're using real currency. If you use counterfeit currency, then you don't get the real Holy Name, you get something.
So this also says giving up all anarthas. So you could say that the material energy Maya or Kali, he or she is seeing if is this real, and the test is if we are approaching the humble state of mind and giving up the anarthas.
Yeah, that's very good point. Yes. Bhaktivinoda talks about that. He talks about the disqualification for working in the marketplace. He gives a whole list of disqualifications. You can't work in the marketplace. There are different types of anarthas. Jiva Hingsa, Kutinati, Pratishta, the desire for respect, Jiva Hingsa, envy, the love of living entities, cheating, the fault finding, Puja, the desire for worship. These are some of the anarthas. So, but does that mean one's disqualified if there's an anarthas? Qualification is that somebody wants to give up their anarthas. That's the qualification. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. Somebody wants to give up their anarthas. Then they can be accepted as a suitable employee in the marketplace. The story I was going to tell, the example I was going to tell, to your comment, right? You made the comment that Lord Nityananda broke open the storehouse and distributed freely, giving it to everyone. The example is just like when somebody wants to sell a product but nobody knows anything about it. They give out free samples. Sometimes you see people in the street with little boxes in front of them and handing out free samples. But the purpose is of the free sample is if you use the product and you see how good it is, then you'll come back and you buy the bigger box or whatever it may be. The same way Nityananda and his representatives, they give out free samples of faith. That even persons who are faithless, by Lord Nityananda's method of distribution, because his method of distribution, of course, is one of total selflessness. His only desire is simply to serve the order of Lord Chaitanya. He carries it on his head. Just like in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's described how Lord Chaitanya sent Nityananda and Haridas Thakur out to the street, told them to instruct everybody. He said, then they come back and report to me. Give me the results. So what was he asking for? What results did he want? much Lakshmi they collected? No. Because else they wanted to know how many people chanted Hare Krishna with faith. So, Nitai, of course, as we know, his method of distribution was he wanted to glorify Lord Chaitanya as the most magnanimous distributor of love of Godhead. And he was prepared to take all risks, and he displayed such compassion, tears, in his desire to give the holy name to others. And he wasn't interested. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also talks about this, I think, in Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala. He says that, in the commentary to Agyatahal, he says, let's see if I can find it quickly, if I can't. Oh, yes, here it is right here. He says, Prabhu Nityananda and Patrolman Haridas Thakur have each exhibited the glories of this post in their own unique ways. He's talking about, I'll go back up just a little bit. He says, even though all the employees of the Namhata are qualified for performing Agyatahal, the patrol, according to the Lord's order, still the great Mahasayas, who are like patrolling watchmen, are especially empowered to render these duties in an entirely selfless manner. Above all the rest, Prabhu Nityananda and patrolman Haridas Thakur have each exhibited the glories of this post in their own unique ways. If one goes out on patrol with hopes of simply collecting milk and rice, then that is not the pure form of Agyatahal. So he's making the point that specifically the unique qualification of Prabhu Nityananda and patrolman Haridas Thakur is that they went out simply with the interest not to get any profit or gain in terms of milk and rice, but they only wanted to gain faith and offer that faith to Lord Chaitanya, faith in the holy name. And therefore Lord Nityananda, because he was so transparent in his purposes, not interested in any fruit of gain, any material gain except Lord Chaitanya's pleasure, he displayed such compassion in his method of distribution that even the most fallen Jagai and Madhai had their faith awakened. But previously they were completely faithless, and as we know, there was no sin that they had not committed, except they, until that point they had not offended a Vaishnava, because no Vaishnava would go anywhere near them, so they didn't. That was the one thing that, but of course if they offended Lord Nityananda, but Lord Nityananda, you know, completely forgave them. When Lord Chaitanya asked Lord Nityananda, will you forgive them? Lord Nityananda said, not only will I forgive them, but whatever pious credits I've accumulated in all my lives, let me give that to them. So he was most magnanimous. Most magnanimous. And therefore, what happened? He awakened faith. So that's the example that is given, that he gives that free sample in his method of distribution, a free sample just so you can get a little taste of that faith. And then once you have a little sample, then you can come back and purchase more, because there's different levels of faith. Shraddha, then Nishtha, Ruchi, Bhava, Prema, different, they are different levels of faith and devotional service. So the point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the unique characteristic of these transactions in the marketplace of the holy name is that you can purchase with what you have, and then when you use to its full potential, when you use what you've purchased, faith, and then you've chanted the holy name to that degree that you've purchased, and you use it to its full potential, then what happens is Lord Nityananda gives you back everything you paid, so you can come back and buy more. Not very good business.
material sense. Who do you know? I said, just use it, and whatever you paid me, I'll just give it back. So you come back and you say, okay, I'll buy it. So then you come back and buy more, and then you get something, you get a bigger box. Okay, here's this package. Use it. Use it up completely. It's, okay, here, I'll give you everything back, and I'll come back and buy more. But that's what Nityananda does. That's what Nityananda does. So, that's the, of course, that's the benefit of having a little faith. And Lord Nityananda doesn't discriminate, as described here. Doesn't take into consideration one's position, one's wealth, one's fame. What is it? I switched pages. And he gives the pure teachings of Krishna to everyone and does not care for one's birth, wealth, knowledge, and strength. An interesting thing I was also thought of here. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, give up the illusory snare of Maya. Either remain in household life or in the forest as a sannyasa. Doesn't make any difference. And there is one bhajan. Gurangira Duti Pada. Huh? Prabhupada, yes, explains in the purport. Gurangira Duti Pada. Very nice point that he makes. I would like to read that in that connection. Gurangira Duti Pada. What page?
That's the name of
the song. Huh?
That's the name of the
song. No, I haven't. It's got another name. It's Savana Shigura Mahima. And he says, first Narottam Das Thakur says, he says, anyone who takes pleasure sporting within the waves of the ocean of Lord Chaitanya's distribution of love of God immediately becomes a confidential devotee of Sri Sri Radha Madhava. It doesn't matter whether such a devotee is in the renounced order of life or whether he is a householder. If he is actually taking part in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan activities and actually understanding what it is, then such a person is always liberated. Narottam Das aspires from his association. The Prabhupada says, in his commentary to that verse, he says, Narottam Das Thakur concludes this song by saying, Grihe bhavanete take hagaranga boli dake. It is not necessary that one become a mendicant or give up his family life and society. One can remain wherever he finds it suitable, whether as a householder, as a brahmachari, as a vanaprastha, or as a sannyasi. Vanaprasthas and sannyasis are supposed to live outside of the city. Vanete means forest. Formerly, those who were in spiritual consciousness used to live in the forest to become free of the turmoil of city life. But that is not possible now. In this age, no one can go into the forest. That requires practice, and no one is practiced to that line. Therefore, generally, one is recommended to live with his friends, wife, and children. That doesn't matter. But he must take to the process of Krishna consciousness, as introduced by Lord Chaitanya. It is not difficult. The real thing is that one has to accept the movement of Lord Chaitanya, chanting, dancing, and eating Krishna prasad. Even if one is in family life, there is no difficulty. He can just sit down, chant Hare Krishna, dance nicely, and then take Krishna prasad. Prashagis is next on the agenda. Then the Prabhupada says, everyone can do this. Those who have renounced this world, sannyasis, they also can do it. There's no difficulty. Also, therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says it doesn't matter whether one is a brahmachari, grihastha, or sannyasi. He says, if you have taken to these principles of life, I desire your company because you are a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Very important point. So, the qualification is that you take the Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. That is the qualification. And participate in chanting of the holy name of the Lord and hearing with faith and increasing the faith of others. And being only interested in expanding one thing only. If you have faith, you've got everything, isn't it? We don't have to make any other endeavor for anything else. If you have somebody's faith, that's what Prabhupada did. How is it, you oftentimes hear stories from the devotees, back in the 70s. Who here back in the 70s? Am I the only one? Oh, good. Yeah. What did Prabhupada do? Took our hearts, right? Took everything. We were ready to do anything for Prabhupada. We were distributing books sometimes. I didn't know we were distributing books 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. Prabhupada said, and I was quoting Prabhupada the other day. Prabhupada was giving a commentary to the verse Shushusho Shranadanasya Vasudeva Katara, which he was speaking from that. And he was talking about by serving those devotees who are freed from vice, great service is done. By such service, one develops affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva Shushusho. Shushusho Shranadanasya. Those who have faith. And Prabhupada said, I have created your faith. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Nityananda, right? I have created your faith. Right? There's lecture. Okay. He said, before you had no faith in any of these things. Mm-hmm. Who heard of Krishna? Nobody knew of Krishna. Anything about Krishna. Prabhupada, and then by creating faith, and Prabhupada said, so much has come. I have so many buildings, so many children, so many, everything. My spiritual master sent everything. One problem, his only interest was just simply faith. Everything else came because he had so much faith in Prabhupada. You hear stories of Shyama Sundar telling in the early days, when he starts going off and, how in the 60s, how they started. Just had faith. Shyama Sundar told a wonderful story in Moscow. We were having the 40th anniversary of Prabhupada's visit to Moscow in 1971. This year was the 40th year. And we had a festival. And Shyama Sundar was telling Prabhupada's, I've heard him say this many times, how Prabhupada's munificence and his magic, his display of magic and his compassion was displayed more than anything that he'd ever seen traveling with Prabhupada in these 5 days in Moscow. Because Prabhupada went there, first, he said he was ready to do anything to go to Moscow. And the devotees had difficulty getting a visa for him, and finally he asked Shyama Sundar to make an attempt to get a visa for him, and Shyama Sundar was able to secure a visa. He said, the only problem is, Srila Prabhupada, we have to leave tomorrow. The Prabhupada said, just immediately packed everything up, let's go. Left from Moscow, he was so eager to go there. Because they went there on the only to meet, you know, Professor Katovsky. And that was the only appointment, the only appointment that Prabhupada had for 5 days. And Shyama Sundar was saying that he said Prabhupada has to preach. If Prabhupada doesn't have an opportunity to preach, he just gets. And Shyama Sundar was his secretary, and he was in complete anxiety. He said, "What's Prabhupada?" You know, the second day was the meeting with Katovsky, and there were 3 more days in Moscow. And he was describing, you know, what was taking place in the hotel. You know, there was one other devotee with him, I can't remember his name. But he had taken some, in the hotel, they couldn't get any sugar anywhere, something like that. So he had taken some sugar, was it? Sugar or salt?
Sugar.
Was it sugar? Yeah. And the maid, you know, who was, you know, it was in the room where the maid stayed, because he was making some sweet rice, I think, for Prabhupada. So it was impossible to find sugar. So the maid saw him taking the sugar and she threw a pot at him. He was running, saw him running out of the room, covered his head. And these things were going on in the hotel. And Shyama Sundar said, you know, he had to find something for his Prabhupada to do, because he knew that Prabhupada was just there for one reason only, to preach. So with that faith, he went out in the street, and I think he went into some line waiting to purchase some vegetables, and two boys approached him, and I think they were looking for jeans, mm-hmm. Right? Looking for jeans, because that was, you know, in the Soviet Union, it was impossible to get at that time those jeans. What was it, 3 enemies of the Soviet regime was declared? Jeans? No, not Coca-Cola. Rock and roll. Rock and roll jeans and Hare Krishna. So anyways, they approached him for some jeans, and then Shyama Sundar said, "No, wait, I don't have any blue jeans, I'm sorry." He said, but I have a yoga teacher who's here. Would you like to meet him? And somehow they agreed. And he brought him to the room. And then I can't be as graphic in his description the way he was, but he said how Prabhupada then just saw the opportunity, and the whole rest of the day, he just took this one boy and just gave him everything he possibly could give him in Krishna consciousness. And then he came back the next day, and the whole next day, Prabhupada just in a Hotel National was preaching to him the whole day. And then, just by that association, they had no books, no beads, nothing. As one person, because he had faith in Prabhupada. That one person, you know. And then, during the 40th anniversary, many of the devotees, Ananta Shanti couldn't come, but many of the devotees who met Ananta Shanti back in the 70s came. And Shyama Sundar, this is the first time that Shyama Sundar got to hear their stories. And it was sort of like all of them, you know, first Shyama Sundar introduced, you know, his visit to Moscow with Prabhupada, and then all these devotees, they were just reciprocating with him. They were just sort of like showing him, this is what you did
by giving the, bringing this one person to Prabhupada, and they all started telling their stories of how they met Ananta Shanti, and he had no beads, he had no books, he had no nothing, and he just sat there just repeating what he had heard from Prabhupada. That was it. And, but that, I mean, not only was it that he was preaching to them, but he was preaching to them in the Soviet Union at that time, which is very dangerous. And, you know, and then many of the devotees who were in prison, they were also there and telling how they, after coming in contact with Ananta Shanti, how they met KGB and how they were put in prison. And Shyama Sundar was sitting next to me the whole time, and he was, kept on grabbing my arm. He said, "Maharaj, it's amazing, amazing." It's like, I can't believe, he was glued to his chair. You know, it's like, because it's the first time he got the opportunity to hear all the stories of what happened from bringing that one person to Prabhupada. And, you know, faith. This is what it's all about. Prabhupada just planted, he awakened faith, gave them faith, gave him faith to go out and to do that against all odds. And then, because he had so much faith, he was able to awaken faith in others. Even though they didn't even yet have Prabhupada's books, nothing. That came much later. One Bhagavad Gita, actually, no. Shyama Sundar had one Bhagavad Gita. He said that somehow, I think Malati snuck it in the suitcase, and he didn't know it was there. Yeah. I remember that when I used to go in, it was still Soviet times, and they would take everything out. I mean, everything. Empty the whole suitcase out. The only thing I took was my Jaffa pizza. I used to put it in the pocket of my trousers in the suitcase. But somehow Shyama Sundar was saying that the book fell to the ground, and pictures were in the book too, fell all over the place. And he said, "Yoga Maya." He said the customs official just didn't even notice, put the books pictures back in the book and put the book back in the suitcase. And he said, went through. So they did have that one book. That one book. Anyways, what anything. The point is what faith can do. When you have faith, you can get everything. So therefore, what awakens faith? What awakens faith is simply the desire to awaken it in others, and not wanting anything else. Not wanting any. No milk and no rice. Milk and rice doesn't have to be considered part of the formula for preaching Krishna consciousness. Just wanting to, and Lord Chaitanya just wants to see, okay, who's chanting with faith? And just a little tear. There's just a little tear in the eye with one chance. And Nityananda is ready to give everything. Everything. Anyways, that's a little about this budget. I don't know if it's relevant or not. No. But we should stop, right?
Yeah.
This is a weeknight.
Yeah, it's
a weeknight. Okay. Thank you.
This wonderful evening that's going to have all of us. Thank you very much for coming and giving us the association. Now we will have dinner started. We're serving downstairs without further ado. Thank you very much. And please also return the songbooks.
Please return the songbooks.
Yes, all the songbooks. There's no souvenirs.
Actually, they belong to Pierre Mohan in Hartford.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, I wanted to make a quick announcement.
I think it was the last time was in New Vrindavan.
Actually, it gives me great pleasure to do this.
Was it last time?
Today is Yogi Purushottam's 52nd birthday. It's just such a pleasure for us to know that Maharaj is coming on the day of his birthday.
Russian visa today, actually. That's why I'm in
Manhattan. It couldn't have been a bigger gift. I can only say that 11 years ago, the first food that I ate in the U.S. was Yogi Purushottam's birthday feast. And I'm here because of the sacrifices that he has made. This building is here, probably here. And he's here for too long because of the steps that he took. So I'm just very grateful that you're with us. I wish you a very, very, very happy birthday and many more to come.
Thank you.
Actually,
I can say that one thing I remember, I can't remember what year it was, maybe it was 1990. Yogi Purusha, he was coming to Boston, he wanted to come distribute books there. And that was a few times I told you this, but that I told him that I actually know your Prabhupada Tatius in New York. I said, you can't come to Boston.
Yep.
And although he was very inclined.
To say the least.
And he very faithfully took that instruction, came back to New York, and it's been 20 years that he's continued to faithfully follow that instruction. That although there were so many other opportunities available to him, that he has given his life to preaching here in Manhattan. And I'm very grateful because I Prabhupada considered this obviously such an important city, most important city, practically. I always think of it's a picture that I remember when I used to preach in Manhattan in 78, in West 55th Street, and I had a couple there. But we had this picture there of Prabhupada when he was there in 76. He came for the New York Rathi Yatra. And there was a picture of Prabhupada sitting on the roof of West 55th Temple. Just, if you look at that picture of Prabhupada looks like a king who conquered the world. Didn't he? You know that picture?
Famous picture.
I always think of that picture. Yes, that was there. It was in the museum. Mm-hmm. Somewhere on that floor, the 11th floor of the museum was. That's, he really considered New York an important place. And after I left New York in 1979, I left to become the president of Boston.
I wasn't preaching here. And I was oftentimes just thinking that, what Prabhupada? Anybody who preaches in New York definitely gets Prabhupada's special mercy. This is such an important place to him, dear and dear to him. He started planning to see the Krishna consciousness movement. So I always took solace that although I couldn't preach, that Garuda Purusha was staying here and dedicating himself to preaching in New York. So I pray that he continues to do so.
Thank you.